Megan Woods is with us along with Mark Mitchell. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Megan.
Megan, where'd you go?
I went to the International Energy Agency meeting in Denmark.
Was that they say Denmark's beautiful, is it? And don't tell me you stayed in your hotel in the conference room the whole time and didn't have any fun. Come on.
No, because it was across several venues. We're in quite a small town. Where it was being held, it's actually one of the town. Well, I mean, when we say small town in Denmark, it means a different thing than in New Zealand. Yeah. But they have done a huge amount around energy efficiency. So we actually got out, and the delegation, ministers from around the world got out and had a look at some of the really good technology that was being used around energy efficiency. It was really, really useful.
I saw a program where the hotel, one of the hotels there, had its own geothermal unit heating the place.
The hotel I was at didn't have that. We're in a place called Sonneberg. What is used a lot in Scandinavia, not just Denmark, though, is they have district heating schemes, and there's a lot of burning of municipal waste for heating as well.
Like Bromley.
Wouldn't like to say, Mike, but perhaps not quite as well, but perhaps a bit more appreciated in Denmark than what's currently happening at Bromley. There's a lot of really good things going on, but always really good to measure the kinds of things that New Zealand's doing when you go to these meetings as well, and I think we're doing some pretty good stuff.
Good. Are you ever leaving the country, Mark?
Pardon?
Are you ever leaving the country?
Look, I am. I want to get over and see my son. I haven't seen my son in Australia for 2.5+ years. So I intend this recess in July to get over and see him.
Good stuff. Now, just quickly, Megan, don't bore us witless with this because I think this is solvable. The GIB task force, we had one of them on this morning, Rick Hurd. He said it's solvable.
Right.
We've got too much legislation around it. We're too obsessed with GIB. We need to get more product in from other parts of the world. It's not the only product we can use. We need to loosen it up a bit and get on with it. Is that a reasonable sort of solution that we would aim for?
Absolutely. And what it is about putting together people like Rick and other people that have got expertise in supply chains and from the industry that can say, this isn't about producing a big report for me that will then go to Cabinet, will consider the recommendations, and several months later will come back with a government response. This is about troubleshooting, finding out the roadblocks of us doing exactly what you're saying so we can solve them as we go. We've already been working with these people through the Accord and also just as industry experts, already put some solutions in play, but I want to make sure that we're getting the people right on the shop floor who understands the impediments to make sure we can get GIB into the hands of builders.
Go, Mark.
Mike, just on this, I mean, in all fairness to Megan, she's got a big, great big hospital pass here, but the reality of it is 2 years ago in front of the Select Committee, I was asking the Minister for Construction, Building and Construction, what the government was doing to deal with what was a growing issue around the global supply chain. And having sat on the board of a big global supply chain or a big global logistics company, I could see clearly what was coming. She said, yes, they've got their arms around it. They're doing the work that they need to address those issues. That was 2 years ago. We now find ourselves in this position. There's been no work done at all, and they're standing up another working group.
That's not correct. Let's deal with the fact. If that's not correct, why are we in this position? Well, first of all, you're saying in terms of global supply chains that GIB is actually a domestically produced product in New Zealand, that what we're at is a situation where we do have record number of consents. We need more GIB in. We need to look at how we do that. But to say nothing has happened is just not true.
Just let me interrupt, Megan, just quickly. Fletcher's claim they make 50,000 houses worth of board. We're only building 40. Are they right?
Look, I'll need to go through the metrics of that. Why exactly it is that we've got into this situation is the kind of thing.
Well, because they claim it's hoarding.
Market study. Yeah, the market study will pick up. I mean, on all those equations, we should have enough GIB in the country, but it's just plainly obvious to everybody that there isn't. What we have done and has been happening all through this year is issuing guidance to say this is how you substitute out different products, because the problem is a lot of consents actually specify the branded product GIB rather than saying...
And that's the problem, though, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's kind of like the sellotape Band-Aid problem,
that the brand has become
the product.
Exactly. Quick comment, Mark.
The problem is, Mike, is that this government is reactionary to everything. In fact, to be honest with you, they're so slow that you can barely wonder if you can find a pulse in terms of what they're doing. And they should have anticipated this. They do have all the information. They do have the advisors. They do have the agencies and the ministries. Why didn't they anticipate this? Why didn't they look and see that if that's the problem, Megan, and we can only use Jib in this country, why 2 years ago weren't you looking at bringing other plasterboard products in?
Mark, have you shown Sam Uffendale where the bar is yet?
No, I've had to show him where Copperfields is. No, I shouldn't say that, but the staff at Copperfields are amazing. But, you know, we're always fighting the battle of the bulge down here.
That is true. That was a good win on Saturday night. He won, but won well, yep. I think is the point, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was that was the second best result we've ever had in the Tauranga seat. And when you actually look at us combined with ACT, it was over 60% of the vote. So I think that it was an outstanding result for us. I mean, he was an outstanding candidate. And I think that it's a clear indication of where the country and how people are feeling at the moment.
Should you have fought harder for that one, Megan? I know you were never going to win it. I think we all accept that. And the Prime Minister never even turned up. That's sort of defeatist, isn't it?
Oh, look, just want to start off saying congratulations to Sam. It's always a really exciting time for someone starting off their political career and coming in to represent their community. So well done to him. Look forward to meeting him. But look, as you say, we haven't won that seat since the 1930s. That we went into this in a really realistic frame. The fact of the matter is the Prime Minister was off overseas. She was in the States. She was in Australia, and she also was sick at that time.
Megan, she was up a ski field on election day.
On election day, you can't campaign on election day.
No, but you know what I'm saying. She was available if she wanted to be.
There would have been a great deal of criticism if she'd turned up on total.
You know what I'm saying.
I
just felt sorry. Jan Tinetti, I've only dealt with her a couple of times. She seems like an eminently likable person, and she was like a shag on a rock hung out to dry by a party that didn't want to back her.
No, absolutely not. Look, Jen is a huge community advocate for the community that she lives in. She was a school principal there. Jen went into that by-election eyes wide open. She knew Labor had never won that seat since the 1930s. But she also knew that she had a job to do for the party. And Jen is an incredibly talented minister and an absolutely great local advocate and did the job incredibly well.
We're
very proud of her.
They kept the Prime Minister out of the electorate as much as they could, whereas we did the complete opposite. Had Christopher Luxon there as much as we could have him down there. And then to top it all off, you had the incoming Justice Minister, Kerry Allen, and the Marri caucus break all the electoral laws by campaigning on...
Yeah, that was pretty uncool.
You're just saying the Prime Minister should have been in Tauranga on Saturday.
No. What I was saying is if you can find your way to the top of a ski field, you can find your way to a by-election for a bit of campaigning.
Criticise one for campaigning, you can't say the other should have been in Tauranga.
Mark? Sorry, Mark, finish it up.
I was going to say, Megan would never have done that. You wouldn't have broken the electoral laws, would you, Megan? By campaigning on election day?
Look, Mark, I think there are a number of people that have made posts on election days and by-election days that have had to be removed. It's not confined to the Labor Party.
No, only the Labor Party.
Group of people to do it. No, that's not
only
true,
Labor Party on this by-election, Megan, unfortunately.
Okay.
And
Mark, just think about glass houses and stones, eh?
Should the government apologise over the MIQ? They're not going to appeal, but should they apologise?
Well, it's good that they're not appealing, but at the end of the day, they should apologise because, the way that they ran MIQ caused a hell of a lot of human misery. And I had to deal with that at a local base, with local cases in terms of people literally not being able to get back to see dying parents. I mean, you're never, ever going to be able to rewind time. And I think that the government should come out and actually apologise.
Isn't an apology a nice thing to do, Megan? I mean, you've lost the case. You're not going to appeal. Just say sorry.
Oh, look, I think we've always acknowledged how difficult MIQ was on an individual basis. Like Mark, I'm a constituent MP dealing with people, and every one of those cases was tragic on an individual level. But I think that we also can't take away from the fact that MIQ saved tens of thousands of lives. And that's collectively what we did. It was one of the most difficult things that we did in government. And I think everyone acknowledges that it was incredibly difficult and it was incredibly complex.
Mark?
we actually could have done both. They weren't exclusive of one another. You could have managed the border, and also we could have had a little bit of humanity and allowed people. And there were three cases that I had that even the hospital was saying, yes, we can support a visit. We had everything in place, and it was declined.
Just the quickly, Megan, just quickly, put your finance hat to wrap this up. The New Zealand Post chair, Roger Finlay, is on an advisory board at the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank regulates and oversees his bank. Is that a conflict of interest?
Look, I know this is something that the Minister of Finance has been working through. I haven't been here. I'm not across the details of that, but happy to have a chat about that to you once I do get up to speed with it.
Please do. Let's do it next week. Mark Mitchell, Megan Woods.